This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with...
Arvind Viraj.
Rita Liu.
We are talking about recycling. We are talking about fines, or what was the word you used earlier on? Fees, excess fees or charges.
Right. So the fine word is so negative, but you know, if you exceed it, you know, there'll be charges to this, right?
I think that's fair.
You know, so it doesn't sound so negative.
Right, okay.
You know how, when did you start using cashless apps? When you got the incentives, right? Like the cashbacks.
Yeah.
So same for me. When I knew that these apps started giving me so, you know, so many like rebates and cashbacks and stuff. So then I was like prompted to start using these apps. So what if you had like an app that could track how much you recycled and how much you separated your trash, and then every time you did something like that, it would give you like an incentive, like a cashback.
People would be all over that.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, just a follow-up to the person
copyright TM, by the way, here on Enterprise BizBytes.
It's already being done. Who wished to remain anonymous. So this is, again, she said, you know, shout out to the companies that we feature, Zero Waste Shops. I mean, like, we've had The Hive as well. So when you buy things from them, there is no packaging. You either bring your own packaging.
Yes.
So things like that that you can actually do to minimize waste. So speaking of which, you were talking about the app. So GrubCycle is coming up in an app. So after a year where you buy these things that you have helped save so much, so that's the idea. So then you look, wow, this is what I've done in a year by not, you know...
Wasting.
Good stuff. Mm. Do they give you some incentive?
No.
See?
I think.
That's the thing.
Early
days. Maybe they should give them Laksa made by Sophie.
Sophie the robot. Yeah.
I'd be all over that.
Yeah.
Right. Go on, Arv.
This comes from Kimberly on Twitter. She says that, I thought our trash will be disposed like how it was shown in Toy Story 3, where iron, food and trash all separated once it all reaches the waste factory, and then it will burn and it will turn into energy and food will turn into fertilizer. I mean, in an ideal world,
right.
You know, in the perfect world, yes, but unfortunately...
In some countries that happens.
Not enough, I guess.
It's good to watch cartoons.
Yeah. Carrying on with this topic, 018-789-8899 is the number if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Thanks so far for all of your messages. We are going to keep it going. We do have one final story sticking with robots and how robots for the elderly, they should be designed with care and respect. Why is
that? Right. Okay. So anyway, a good follow-on, a bit more serious from Laksa. But I think like anything must be designed with care and respect. So of course, Japan in particular is a super age. Aging society, your population getting older and all that. So in 2015, an article in the Lancet Medical Journal pointed out that Japan will be at the forefront of devising ways to tackle the social, economic and medical challenges posed by a super aging society. So a high-tech innovator, the country's producing robots for people with dementia to provide companionship, improve safety in the home and help with therapy. Other countries are also jumping on board with this. But we must make sure that people, especially those living with dementia, are firmly at the center of the research and development, obviously. A technology, after all, should be for and by people, not something imposed on them. So they've got a couple of things. Robots for dementia care can help with physical caregiving tasks. So they can be classified into 7 major categories. Power-assisted robots that transfer patients from beds and wheelchairs. Assistive robots for personal mobility. Toiletry assistance robots. Bathing assistance robots. Monitoring robots with sensor systems and social interaction robots and therapeutic robots. So for social robots, they're designed for social and therapeutic purposes. They can look like cute animals such as Paro, which is a baby seal robot.
It's very cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or little small humanoids like Sato or Romeo. I think I've seen that as well. So for people living with memory loss, robots can remind them about things they often forget, such as prompting them to take medication and eat their meals, pointing out the location of household items and helping with their use. So robots can also provide companionship and entertainment, such as engaging people in games, dancing and singing. So I want to talk about the downsides, right? Carers need support, but replacing human caregiving with technology can deprive people of social interaction and worsen the problems of loneliness and isolation. So what's more, relying on robots to do home and self-care tasks can reduce the autonomy of older adults, right? Indeed, fine line between using robots for beneficial therapy and infantilizing older people when robots are used as toy-like dolls or teddy bears. So new technology technologies should help people maintain or develop skills and should respect their years of life experience. A communication robot, for instance, could interact with people to record a live diary and help remind her of important events and relationships. So consent and privacy issues arise if persons unable to turn off monitoring and data tracking features. Older people may prefer to age in place in the home and community where they feel a sense of attachment. Well-intentioned caregivers often want to minimize risk of harm, especially for elders living in their own, but intrusive technology can make a home feel like a hospital or prison. Now, so, Rich, you and I have gone through this, right? When you think about this, I feel that when it comes to this, the thing like power-assisted robots to transfer patients from beds and wheelchairs, you know, the toiletry assistance, I've done this for my father, and it is very, very challenging physically, and you just feel so sad, right? So miserable, you know, and it's not, it's just, you just feel sadness for the father and doing this. So when you've got robots assisting in these sort of things, I think they're lifesavers, literally. I think the danger is when, you know, like, okay, I've got a robot to play with my dad. That's probably when the issue arises. It's good, you know, there are moments, I'm sure, like in the day if you're working, but they still need the human interaction.
I completely agree. You're right. Not only the kind of assistance, I think, is a good thing. I think the idea of the companionship robot, I think, is a really good idea. You know, they talk about when people are depressed or whatever, introducing an animal into a pet, rather, into the house is often a good idea. The downside of that, of course, is that
you take care of the dog.
You have to take care of the dog or the cat. And sometimes, you know, these animals are forgotten about, for want of a better term. You know, so something like this and something like the Paro, I think, is a great idea because it just relies on batteries. It doesn't matter if you've forgotten to feed it because it doesn't need feeding. But the idea of...
You've got to remember to charge it.
Oh, you've got to remember to charge it. But the it's a very fine line between, like it says in the article, caring for and infantilizing somebody, because you don't know when you are so close to that person how to draw that line. And often you need a third party to come in and say, look, you're doing a little bit too much. You need to kind of step back a little bit, because all you want to do is care for that individual, right?
There's this robot, his name is Moxie, and I think it's in Austin, Texas. One of the hospitals introduced a robot to be a help for the nurses, but it became so popular the patients because of how it looks. So that's the fine line, right? It's like designing a robot that doesn't look like it's intimidating so that the patients aren't, you know, afraid of it, but at the same time, like, giving it enough human features or, you know, cartoon-like features so that it looks comfortable or the people are comfortable around it. So Moxie is basically an arm. It's one giant arm that helps nurses pick medicines from top shelves or pick medicines to just follow the nurses around when they are going from ward to ward. And because it is such a huge arm, what they did was they painted it a bright white, and then they gave Moxie eyes, even though the eyes don't actually do anything. So they're like large eyes that look like a cartoon. Moxie makes like very like sort of like very pleasant sounds when it moves around. So it doesn't look like an intimidating giant arm that's moving into the ward to pick stuff. It looks like something out of a Pixar cartoon that's like coming in to help the nurses. Very pleasant looking kind of robot. So I think it's the design aspect more than the robot's like function aspect, to make patients more familiar and more like you warm up towards, like, you know, machines basically doing the work.
What about the idea though of robots for companionship and communication, you know? So
I you know, like, so I'm just fast forwarding my life 40 years from now, you know, and if there were robots that would just take care of me for all these things, reminding me to take medication, everything, and because, like, I would still want to see my son, and we're talking, and you don't have to worry about making sure I get to the toilet, making sure I don't want you to have to worry about it, because I've done that. And when you just want to have the full energy to just be able to talk to your dad and for me, talk to my father and everything, and not have to worry about feeding him, changing him, turning him around, because it is exhausting physically and mentally, right? So you want to preserve that energy, you know, for meaningful communication,
right?
And that can only be done by a human.
You're right. Okay, it's time for us to wrap up, ladies and gents. It's been a top-heavy show. We've had all kinds of things that we've thought are very important that we wanted to discuss with you today. Of course, we started off with the story about how Shanghai are separating their trash into four separate categories. If you don't take part in that, you'll be fined, and of course, your social credit score will be reduced. Also, we mentioned South Korea and their 95% Food Wastage Recycling Project. We then moved on to...
Then we spoke about how a robot named Sophie is making laksa in 45 seconds.
Wrapping up with...
With robots for the elderly must be designed with care and respect.
That's all the time we have for today. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. If you'd like to listen back to this show, if you think you've missed any part of it, you can download the podcast. It's available via the app in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Of course, we are on Spotify as well. And coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay with Pang Kim Hin, the chairman of Kim Hin Jubahad. Having listed on the Ace Market recently, they retail the Mothercare and ELC brands here in Malaysia. They plan to open more Mothercare clothing outlets and increase their existing toy offerings. They joined the Breakfast Grill to discuss their expansion plans in detail and the outlook for maternity, baby and child products here in Malaysia. All coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Frida Liu and Arvind Yuvaraj, this has been Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9, the business station. Up next, The Beatles. Help!
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.